So in other words, anything that has changed in the United States is people over here. So if you want to play slot machines, you got to have give the desired amount of money to the counter, and then they'll give you their own coinage, like down at Cameron, you get a little silver piece, like a slug or piece of play money, and it's got Cameron Bay stamped on it, and all the posts over here have their own money. So this is what you do, is this exact size of a nickel or a quarter, whatever, how big the machine is set up to play. And then they also have these pinball machines over here that operate on the same thing, but I've just never seen any machines like this. You're playing for points, and there's no bells or buzzers, and I've never been able to figure out how you play it. Some guys put about 50 cents into it for one game, and others don't, and nobody really seems sure on how it works. This Saturday, they're going to have Diana Dawn, which is a big name entertainer over here up at the service club, and I'd be willing to bet that I'm going to pull guard duty that night, because I haven't pulled it yet, and it'd just be my luck to pull it. For guard duty, you pull about every 8 days, and we have two tower guards at night, and then PX guards, two tower guards. There's two towers, and in each tower there's two guys all night. You just alternate sleeping, and each got a machine gun plus the rifle. And then there's a three PX guards. They have 4-hour shifts. This PX guards is pretty wasted, because if you see our PX, there's nothing really. I mean, it'd be worth stealing to get in there. There's concertina wire all the way around it, thick glass, big wire over the windows, so they take a professional working pretty long to get in there, and there's really, I mean, the only thing really expensive to hack. The thing that grabs me over here is that the Gooks, that's the Vietnamese, you call them Gooks, run everything. In the PX, they run the PX, in the barber shop, there's a barber's tailor shop. Well, that, I know, I realize, of course, that I have a shop and tailor shop for necessities, but I figure in the PX they'd have Americans. Because these Gooks, man, I've seen some slow people in my time, but these are the slowest people. Just opening and closing hours, that doesn't mean anything to them. If you ask them for something, they're so slow in getting it. It's not as if you know, they have trouble with the language. These people are pretty up on the language when it comes to money. You know, take your dollar bills fast. But that I don't go for. I'd rather see, because a lot of guys could use part-time jobs here in the post. I kind of go up to the tailor shop, which we call the Gook shop. This is, they try and sell you their jackets. They make jackets out there. They're camouflage material, and on the back you can have sayings put on them, and then a map of Vietnam, Vietnam service, 68, 69, whatever you want put on them. They're always trying to sell them to you. Every time you walk up to, you know, buy, buy, buy. And you say, no, no, no money. Get out of here. Beat it. You have to go up there, though, to get your stripes put on your uniform, your nameplate, and tags and such. And then the other day I went up there, I bought zippers for my boots. You just lace them in where there should be laces. And now I just found out that they're unauthorized, but I'm going to keep them anyway until somebody says something. Because I feel in case of a mortar attack, it'd be a lot easier just slipping your boots and pull the zippers and try and sit there and lace them up. The Gook shop is also the place where if you want to buy anything illegal, the Gook shop is the place to get it. They have shakedowns here in the company though every month, and if they ever catch you with any of this stuff, naturally they'll take it. They had a shakedown in the one barracks over here the other night, and they found enough marijuana in a guy's locker to outfit the company for a long while, and they found another guy on the needle. Some other guys and some other dope they got over here. Nobody can really see why, and then the other guys I talked to could see taking the stuff, because you're sure there's no pressure here. The radio stations over here are the best I've ever heard, even in the United States. There's nothing like these. They're operated by the armed forces, and they have real good DJs on them. These guys, I don't know if they just became disc jockeys when they got in, or if they're DJs back in the world or what, but they do a good job and they play songs. I mean, they were popular, say, 3-4 years ago, which I like, because, I mean, just because, you know, there isn't new, I still like to hear them. And then instead of commercials, there's no commercials on these things, in their place they'll put a message of interest, like, don't pet the dogs and the monkeys and that, because it'll be carrying rabies, and then you gotta go through 14 shots, or if you got a pet, be sure to get them inoculated. Tips about booby traps, They have a little sketch where Count Malaria swoops down on the unsuspecting American, sucks his blood out, and puts the guy in the hospital. Real cute, and they're interesting and informative like they're supposed to be. Also on posters, a craft shop and hobby shop. The PX's. We have hot showers, too, every night. They start heating them up around 6 o'clock, so you can wash those Vietnamese dirt off of you. And we have a pretty good mess hall. You can go in there at any time and make up a sandwich or something in case you're hungry. The other day, I had to go into Quinana again to get a flight physical. There's five of us. We went down in the tech supply truck that goes in every day to pick up supplies. But we didn't get a ride back with them because they went back before we were ready. And this Quinana is the most mixed up place I've ever seen. We were supposed to go to dispensary at the airfield, and then they said we were supposed to go to another dispensary, and from there we went to another dispensary. And you have to walk all over the town, and the town is off limits right now because there's some VC activity in there. So that means you're walking around. This is one time I didn't have my rifle with me, so I'm sitting there sweating it, you know. Of course, in a town like that, there should be no problems. And then they get back to Ansan, which is about 10 miles away, have to hitchhike from one military vehicle to another. And as our luck, just the vehicles were beginning to thin out on the road there because it was about 4:30. And we had a... Then all of a sudden we started hitting it good again. We got four or five trucks in a row that were going our way. And then we got put off of one town. We were at the outskirts of one town. We didn't want to walk through it because it was VC held. So we were standing there. There was a Korean MP directing traffic at his little stand. So we waited there. And a couple Koreans picked us up in their truck and took us the rest of the way back, and then last night or so we got a ride by a PX truck, which is International Harvester, and these are the best trucks for hitchhiking in because they're real smooth over these bumpy roads. As we were coming back there, we heard gunshots over the hills, and I just kicked myself for not taking my rifle with me. I'll never make that mistake again. But none of the other guys ever take their rifles and ammo in the Quinyan, but I can't see it because I know if I was trying, I'd certainly be up on those hills waiting to hit these trucks as they go by. But then, of course, this is Korean-held territory, and these Koreans, they're just looking for the excuse to go down and wipe out this whole valley in case there's ever any trouble. They feel a mean, nasty war. The Koreans, the Arvins, they all carry M1 carbines. Some of the Arvins carry the Gurion rifle. I saw one American sergeant with a grease gun, another with a Thompson. This war over here is just an outlet for all the old American weapons, I think. The country of Vietnam is one of the most beautiful I've seen it. I can see why the French or the frogs, as we call them, that didn't like getting kicked out of here because it's really beautiful. There's palm trees and nice green vegetation. These little primitive huts like you see in the movies, the Tarzan movies. It's just really beautiful. I've been taking my camera on, shooting shots, and getting as many pictures as I can. But the problem here is with developing. The $3.15, which the film cost, includes processing, which I had to read the fine print. But that means you got to send it to Honolulu, and then you have to get sent back again. And then one roll I originally had with me, I don't know where I'm going to get that processed, because that is not the type of film it is. They don't process it over here. So maybe I'll send that back to you and you can have it processed. It's slide film. I was in a garbage detail on the train at the Camp McDermott dump. We're on top of a hill there and we got a shot looking down, and it's just like a storybook land with the palm trees and the rice paddies, little people working out with the water buffalo. It's a primitive country. I mean, it's kind of nice in its primitiveness, but I sure can't see why they haven't developed past the stages they have. And the sanitary conditions over here is just like everybody said. They're pretty sad over here. Even if the people couldn't guess that garbage and all this carries germs, spreads diseases and that, I think they at least want to get the stuff out now as far as away as they could so they wouldn't smell up the place. Because boy, these villages smell something bad as we drive through them. But it's really offensive to the nose. Imagine if you grew up in it, though, you'd probably get used to it, but it's, kind of turns up the American nose. As we ride along on these trucks, too, through villages and that, guys will take stones and then throw them at the villagers and it wouldn't shoot. This shocked me because, you know, I thought that, you know, you figure it's more like kids than that, but they seem to get a great thrill out of it because they don't particularly like the Vietnamese people. And it's just a harmless way of getting back at them. Favorite game is, as you go by these people on the trucks, you yell, "Kill VC, kill VC," and they smile and they wave. They don't know what the heck you're talking about. But the only thing they really know over here is when you're swearing at them. They've picked that up real fast. I know a little house girls and that, when the guys start cussing them off for not doing their work, they know what you're talking about. Another thing is when you go into the EM club, they got Vietnamese girls there behind the counter serving the drinks, and you go up there and they'll say something in Vietnamese to you, and you just say something dumb like, "Before." They'll look at you and say, "Before, you know, before, before." And they'll get all puzzled and they'll give you a drink and you just walk away. I know, like, Jill and I would have a ball over here because you used to think of some of the things we used to have back in high school and that. You just go up and say anything to them, you know, and I don't know what the heck, just such a lot. What the heck you talking about? Every Monday over here is malaria pill day. Wherever you are in Vietnam, you take a big orange pill, get it at the mess hall. This is kind of a booster agent for the malaria vaccine you already got pumped into you. And then in some areas where conditions are bad, you take a white malaria pill every day. It's a smaller pill. The Vietnamese over here work in the mess hall. They do the KP, which is real fine. They also have the other dirty little details like the latrine detail I told you about and garbage detail and anything lousy that has to be done, they're usually on it. Give them a couple piastres and they're happy. By the way, I'm putting $150 each month starting in January into the overseas bank, which just draws us 10% interest. The $40 which had been being sent home will continue to be sent home. Then I'll have whatever is left. The only thing is you'll probably have to send me money over here later on, probably my 8th or 9th month when I take R&R, because it is a requirement that when you go for R&R you have $200 on your person. I guess this is just so they probably had too many guys getting stranded at the R&R stations with no money, so they just put a fixed limit on it. It used to be $125, but now they upped it to $200. No money will be taken out in November or December, other than the $40. So maybe I'll take this money and look around and get a tape deck. Be sure you look up that call about that model number, because it's fine make a recorder. By the way, as long as I mentioned recorders, did you ever have the reverb put into the stereo set? The day I left, the man was to come out and take out the tuner section to put in the extra jacks that were needed. I certainly hope this thing cost too much, because I certainly hadn't planned on it. According to the instructions, and that, this thing should have been able to plug right into the set. You've probably undoubtedly heard this music in the background. This is this tape recorder this one fellow bought while he was over here. Well, I don't know if you can hear it either, but there's been helicopters flying overhead the whole time I've been talking. It's pretty interesting, really, as you sit here. You can watch these jets taking off for airstrikes coming over the mountains, gunships coming in, our hooks, our Chinooks, we call them hooks, though, coming in. This is really a big operation when it comes right down to it. Going into Quinyan, there's almost always a military base of one sort or another. If it isn't gas dump, it'll be ammo dumps, outposts, radio stations. It's almost continuous military operations. The big talk around the camp now is, well, it's all over the army, really, because I've heard ever since I got over here in Vietnam, is effective in January, they're going to have a 9-month early out. You extend your tour over here until you have 9 months left. And when you have 9 months left in the service, you'll ETS. And this, God, so they're going to have a lot of guys re-upping for that. And like me, I only have to re-up for, say, 3 or 4 months to get there. But you also, in this deal, you'll get a extra R&R in it. You'll get your 30-day paid vacation plus another 30 days. It's gonna be a pretty good deal, but it just sounds too good to be true. We'll have to wait and see what happens. By the way, when Bob Hope was over here one year, I think it was last year, it might have been even in the summer, I don't know if it comes over in the summer, the guys were telling me about this. There's a hook outfit, the 179th, and they've lost two ships within 2 months now. They've had some bad accidents up there and some lousy maintenance. But this thing was coming into Quinion with a bunch of guys for a show, and it was just coming in, right as Bob Hope saw this, the thing threw a blade and just beat itself to death down on the runway, killed a whole bunch of guys, and he won't ride in helicopters anymore. He must be transported by plane. He won't go by helicopter. Now it's pouring outside, so I guess that typhoon got here that you're talking about.
But I guess this is all. Take care of yourself. I know I will. Bye.